Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We had a little break for Yontif. So we are beginning tonight Perek Lamed, second to last Perek of Shmuel Aleph. We're almost done with the Sefer. So I don't think we're going to finish the whole Perek tonight, but we'll do a nice chunk of it. Okay, so Perek Lamed begins with Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi bevo David va'anashav tziklag. Okay, now just to review, it's been a couple of weeks. What happened in the last parak? So in the last parak, Achish, who was the Plishti king, was going out to fight Bnei Yisrael. David was offered to come with him. He went out with him. He essentially said that he was going to protect Achish and his men. He wasn't going to directly fight Bnei Yisrael because he didn't really want to do that. But Achish's men did not even want David to do that. They didn't trust him. They were jealous of him, whatever the case was. And therefore, Achish turned David away and sent David back. Now, the Plishti city that David and his men were living in, called Tziklag, that was the place that that they were living in. So now they're coming back to Tziklag. So they've been away the Pasuk we'll see in a minute says they've been away 3 days, till they travel to Achish and then travel 3 days. And now they're returning to Tziklag after being sent back by Achish. So David and his men returned to Tziklag the third day following their departure to go and Achish. Va'amaleki pashtu el Negev v'Tziklag. And lo, they find that the city's been ransacked, right? Like in the movies or the home to their house has been ransacked, by burglars. Same thing. They came back to Tziklag, and Tziklag was ransacked. Now, not just Tziklag, but Negev. And the Mefarshim say here that Negev either means south. The Doc says either means south, or it might be the name of a city. Negev might be the name of a city. They're not 100% sure. It refers to, according to the Mefarshim, too, we're going to a little bit later in Pasuk, I believe it's Yud Beis, two places that are referred to as Negev. Negev HaKresi, which is a place, and Negev Kol, a city in Shevet Yehuda, and both places were also attacked and ransacked by the Amaleki. So the Amalekim had attacked these cities, the Plishti city, the city in Yehuda, and Tziklag was also attacked. And they defeated Tziklag and they burned it, right? They burned the whole city down. Now we'll see in a minute that they did not kill the people, right? Now, David and his men had left Tziklag and they left the women and children there. So they did not kill the women and children that they captive. But the actual physical, they burned down. They burned. And the Malbim explains revenge, because if you look back in Perek Chaf Zayin, you'll see that David, when he joined Achish and the went to battle against the Amalekim. So this was Amalek's revenge. They left, they went and they ransacked and burned. Now, what they do with the people? Pasuk Beis. Vayishbu es hanoshim asher ba, because the ad gadol lo heu ish. So the pasuk says that they took the women, and they also took all of the children, the young children, the older children. They took everyone. Lo hemisu ish. They did not kill anyone. They kept everyone alive. Vayinhagu vayelchu ledarkam, and they led them away. And they went on their way. The Amalekim went on their way back to their cities. So then the Radak says they were there to fight. It was a whole city of women and children, right? Because all the gone with David to fight. So there were no men left to fight. They came essentially to the city. They didn't. There was no opposition. They see them, the women and the children. Let's go. You're coming with us. And then whatever was left, all the buildings, they just burned them down. Yeah, I think here ish does specifically a male, right? It means a person, I think. Yeah. Now, Rambam says that this was all Hashkacha Pratis. This was all Hashem working behind the scenes. Because David, if at this moment, would have been mechuv to go help protect. Because keep in mind, I'm in Israel now. Achish and the Plishtim. So Achish and the Plishtim are going to attack Bnei Yisrael. David had faked and pretended to go help Achish. He didn't want to help Achish because he didn't want to attack Bnei Yisrael. But says the Malbim that if he was free now, he would have had to go and protect Bnei Yisrael. Because how can you sit by if you know Achish and the Plishtim are going to attack? How can you, as the incoming Yisrael, and he knew that he, how can you just sit there and let against Bnei Yisrael and not go and help? So he would have been chuya to go help Israel against the Plishtim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want him there. And we'll see why. We'll see why I did not want him there. Hashem did not want him there, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Amalek come and cap all of their wives and children of Tziklag. So now busy going to chase them down and rescue them. And now David was occupied to go and help Bnei Yisrael against Achish and the Plishtim because he was occupied saving his wives and everybody's wives and children. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo David v'anoshav el ha'ir. So they come to the city. They go to inspect. They see that it's been, you know, burned and ransacked, but they go to inspect. V'hinei serufa va'esh. The whole thing is burned to a crisp. The whole city is burned down. Unashem uvneim uvnoseim nishbu, and there's no one left. All the women, all of the children have all been taken captive. Now, how did they know they were taken captive? Right? How did they know they didn't kill them? I guess presumably had they killed them, they would have left their bodies there maybe, right? Or some sort of meaning they didn't see any sign of anything. No sign of life, no bodies, nothing. So they figure they must have taken them. They must have captured them. Pasuk Dalet. Vayisa David v'ha'amasherito es kolam vayivku. Number one, they cried out. Imagine coming home. These men are coming home and their families are gone. Right? So everybody starts screaming and crying. Terrible tragedy. Adasher ein bahem koach livkos. They cried so much to the point where they had no more koach. They had no more koach to cry. They were in such grief. They were in such mourning now that their families were gone. Pasuk hey. Ushtei neshei David nishbu, Achinoam Yisraelis, va'avigail eshes naval ha'karmeli. And this was also personal for David. It wasn't just that his men lost their families. His wives, right? He had two wives at the time, Achinoam and Avigail, right? Eshes naval doesn't mean she was currently married to Naval, but she had been married to Naval. Naval died. Okay, so what about Michal? Good question. What about Michal Basho? So we know there was a whole question about Michal. They may have been divorced at this point, you know, because remember he left and Shaul gave her to Palti ben Laish, right? So it could be that they weren't married right now. But it's interesting that it doesn't mention it. I'm trying to think if the Mepharshim back there, when we discussed this, when the Pasuk says that Shaul gave her to Palti ben Laish, I don't remember if the Mepharshim quoted this Pasuk as a proof. Some of the Mepharshim may have quoted this Pasuk as a proof that that they were no longer married. It's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Okay. But this was a personal tragedy for David as well. His wives were gone, right? His wives had also been taken captive. Okay. Now, not only that, right? So now imagine, David is the general here. His home was ransacked. All of his men lost their families. Everything was burned to the ground. Everyone is screaming and crying in grief and mourning. You can imagine the pain that David is feeling. Pain for his men, right? Pain for the women and the children. Pain because of his own wives that are missing. A lot of pain here. And not only that, but to add to the pain, Pasuk Vav, Vateitzer leDavid Me'od, and there was even more aggravation, more pain for David. Why? More tzar. Ki amru ha'am l'saklo. They killed David, his men. Why did they want to kill him? Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am ish albana v'albanosa. Because everyone was so grief-stricken about their children who were gone, the children who had been captured, And they wanted to kill David. Why? Say the Mefarshim. Because this was his fault. David, this was his idea to go help Achish. He also should have realized what the Malbim says. Why didn't you leave anyone back to protect the women and the children? You leave a whole city vulnerable, right? You take all the men out of the city and leave the city just with women and children vulnerable to any attacking army? What's the matter with you? So this was number one, this was your idea to go to Achish in the first place, which didn't even pan out because we were sent back. And number two, why didn't you think to leave someone to guard the city? You should have known better. So the people are furious at David after their grief. Now it turns to rage. Now they're upset, they're angry at David. Why'd you do this? And David is feeling pain, personal pain because his wives are gone. Pain because all of his men have lost their wives and their homes have been destroyed. And further pain because now his men want to kill him. And this is all on him. This is all his fault. It's on his shoulders. So what David, Hashem Elokav. David gets chizuk. You need chizuk in this kind of circumstance. He gets chizuk because of Hashem. Meaning, he has bitachon in Hashem. He recognizes that we have no one else to rely on. Ein lanu lehishayin elo alavinu sheba shemayim. We have no one else to rely on here but Hashem. He's taken care of us until now. He's going to get us out of this mess. We're going to find our women, our wives and our children, right? And he gets chizuk in his pitachon in Hashem.
And he said, yeah. These are the same Philistines that didn't want to accept David and the king wanted him? That we did last week or before the holidays?
Correct. I mean, but this city was attacked by the Amalekim.
Oh, not by the same king
The Plishtim are out. They're going right now to attack Bnei Yisrael. They're not attacking David. But now when David left the city, it was attacked by the Amalekim.
Ah, okay. Ah.
Right, good point. Right, as Aaron's pointing out, had Shaul killed all the Amalekim like he was supposed to, this wouldn't have happened. Right. Okay. So David finds the strength despite his incredible grief and his incredible pain. David finds the strength in Hashem, and he has this bitachon in Hashem. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer David el Avyasar HaKohen ben Achimelech. You remember Avyasar HaKohen. He was that one remaining Kohen from the city of Nov, the son of Achimelech. He had escaped. So David turns to Avyasar the Kohen, the son of Achimelech, and he says, Hagisha na li ha'efod. Bring the ephod to me. Why does he want the ephod? He's going to ask the Urim V'Tumim. He's about to go, he wants to go to war. He wants to go follow and find the Amalekim. Vayagesh Avyasar es ha'efod el David, Avyasar the Kohen, brings the ephod to David. Pasuk Ches, Vayishal David ba'Hashem le'mor. So David asks the Urim V'Tumim, asks Hashem through the Urim V'Tumim the following question. Erdof acharei ha'gidud hazeh. Okay, now it's a good question how to translate this, because there's a machlokas among the mafarshim. How many questions was David asking here? Is this a question? Erdof acharei ha'gidud hazeh, which literally means I will chase this army, right? That just did this. I will chase them down. I'll hunt them down. Is that a question or is that a statement?
Question.
Should I do it? Should I chase?
Should I pursue them or not?
Okay. So if you keep reading, ha'asigenu, the hey in front of that word is clearly a question. Will I reach them? Will I capture them? Right? Will I get to them? Vayom, but now, interestingly, there is no hey in front of erdof. So erdof really as a word means I will chase. Ha'erdof would mean, will I chase? But erdof means I will chase. So according to the Radak, he was asking two questions. The Radak understands Erdof is also a question. Question number one, should I chase? And question number two, if I chase, ha'asigenu, right? Will I be successful? Will I reach them? Will I overcome them? Vayomer lo, and what's the response? Redof, go chase them. Ki haseg tasig vehatzel tatzil. You will reach them, you will overcome them, and you will save all of the captives. That's the reply from the Urim V'Tumim. Okay. Now the Radak makes another interesting point, and he says that really you can only ask the Urim V'Tumim one question at a time. And here David asks two questions. Should I chase them? And if I do chase them, will I be successful? Now you could understand that it's really one question, it's related. But the Radak says it's really two questions, but because it was like a Shas Adchak, right? Time was of the essence because he didn't want to let these people get too far. He didn't know who they were, where they were. He had to go and start the chase. There's so,
if I chase them, will I be successful?
Okay, right. So you could understand it that way. He understands it as really two questions, but I hear what you're saying. Now, the Malbim, interestingly, says that this was all one question because Erdov says the Malbim is a statement, not a question. He wasn't asking, should I chase? David was telling the Urim V'Tumim, he was telling Hashem, I'm going to chase, right? And it seems like the reason for this is because David had the weight of the responsibility of this tragedy on his shoulders. And he realized, I have to do something, right? This was all my fault. I took the men out. I didn't leave anybody behind to guard the city. This all happened because of my decision. It's on my head. Erdov, I'm chasing. Because I got to try to do my hishtablus to rectify it. Now, will I be successful or not? That's my question. I want to know, will I be successful? I'm definitely going to chase. But will I reach them? Will I be successful? Will I find them? Right. So what's the response, says the Malbim? The response is, you will be successful, you will reach them. And not only that, but also, v'hatzel tatzil, you're actually mechuyav, says the Urim V'Tumim. You must go and chase them. Right? I'm telling you, it's a mitzvah to go and chase them. That's how the Malbim understands this conversation. Okay. But either way, the Urim V'Tumim was very clear that he should go and he'll be successful. Now keep in mind, you know, he doesn't know exactly who did this. You know, I don't think they spray painted on the wall, you know, Amalek was here. So they don't know exactly, you know, David doesn't know exactly who did this. He doesn't know where they went. You know, maybe he'll look for clues to find out which direction they fled in, you know, but he's got some work ahead of him to try to find them. Pasuk Tes. Vayelech David hu v'sheish me'os isha asher ito. So David goes with the 600 men that are with him. Vayavo'u ad nachal ha-besor, and he reaches this valley of Besor. That was the place that's the name of the location. The hanosarim amadu, and the remaining ones stood. So, all the mafarshim struggle here. Who are these remaining ones? David and 600 men go, and they travel to Nachal Besor. And then the remaining ones stay in there? They stay there? What does that mean exactly? And then if you read the next pasuk, pasuk Yud, Vayirdov David huva arba meos ish. So David took chase with 400 men. So now we're down 200 because he started with 600 in pasuk Tes. Vayamdu masayim ish asher pigru me'avor es nachal abasur. And 200 men were weak. They were tired from the chase, and therefore they stayed in Nachal Besor. So many of the Mefarshim, Rashi, the Radak, understand that this was a very simple math here. David started out with 600 men. They gave chase. They reached Nachal Besor. 200 men are worn out. Keep in mind, they're not resting because David's just going because he wants to catch, you know, Amalek. He doesn't realize it's Amalek yet, I don't think, but he wants to catch Amalek and save the women and the children. So 200 men get tired out and they say, we'll stay here. You know, you guys keep going and we'll stay here. So that's how Rashi and the Radak understand. The Malbim says, you know, he reads the Pesukim very, very carefully as he always does. And the Malbim says that Nosarim in Pasuk Tes, at the end of Pasuk Tes, sounds like a different group than the 200 in Pasuk Yud. 200 in Pasuk Yud is a separate thing. But the Nosarim sounds like it's something else. And the Malbim suggests that there were other Jews who just now joined David and his camp. He says they were from Binyamin and Menashe, and they came right now to help David, new recruits. They stayed behind in the city, okay? Why? Because their families hadn't been taken. Their families were still in Menashe and Binyamin. They were just coming. They left their families behind. They came to help David. So they didn't have any skin in the game. So David said, okay, thanks for coming, guys, to help. You guys stay here, right? You guys stay here. And we're going to go and chase and find our families. So that's, according to the Malbim, that's the Nosar. These were extra troops, extra recruits that had just recently joined David and his men and really had no skin in the game. They had no reason, personal reason, to come now and find these families. And then the Malbim says that there was another 200 that stayed behind in Achab Asur because they got tired out. So that's how he understands. There were actually two groups that are remaining behind. The first group is Binyamin and Menashe. They're remaining behind, all the way behind, you know, maybe even by Tziklag. And then the extra, these 200 that got tired, they're remaining in Nachal Besor. But either way, David is pushing ahead. He's forging ahead with 400 men.
The Arba Benel suggests that he left 200 men there to watch the families that were still back. And that their families weren't abducted, but they needed someone to watch the families that David was going to leave.
Interesting. So that's different than the Malbim, because the Malbim says they didn't come with their families. The Malbim says they left their families behind in Binyamin and Menashe. They left their families in Eretz Yisrael, and then they came to this to the land of the Plishtim to help David. So Barbanel sounds like he's saying a little bit of a different approach. They came with their families. And then David said, you know what? Sounds like he learned from his first mistake. He said, listen, we're not going to leave all these new women and children alone. You guys stay with them. We, who need to find our wives and children, you know, we're going to go and give chase. Interesting. Thank you. Okay. So they're chasing. Again, they don't know exactly who did this, how to find the perpetrators. They're not really sure, but they're chasing. Pasuk Aleph. Vayimtzu ish mitzri basodeh. So they're running, and they see in the field, there's a lone person there. Now, he's an Ish Mitzri. The Mitzvah Tavid points out that they have no way of knowing he's a Mitzri. It's not like he was wearing a shirt that says, you know, I love Egypt. So, you know, how do they know he's a Mitzri? So it means that when they found him, they didn't know he was a Mitzri. The Pasuk is telling us he was a Mitzri because they'll find out in a minute that he was a Mitzri. But when they found him, they didn't know who he was. They just see some guy lying in the field. And he's lying. He's clearly not well. David. So his men, you know, pick up this guy. They bring him to David. They think maybe he'll, maybe this person will be helpful. But they see he's very sick. Lo lechem. So they give him some bread to eat, and he eats. Vayashkuhu mayim. And they give him some water to drink. The Malbim points out that he had what Chazal call a bumus. He had, you know, some sort of a high fever or something. And he was very sick. They couldn't give him a lot of water. Vayashku mayim means sounds like they gave him a little bit of water. You know, you can't give him too much at once. It's gonna hurt him even more. So they give him, you know, little by little. Pasukud base. Vayidnu lo pelach devela ushnei tzimukim. They give him a piece of fig cake. They give him a bunch. They give him some raisins. It doesn't mean two raisins here, but it means, you know, two bunches of raisins. Yeah, clusters. Vayochal, and he eats them. And the Malbim points out that the Gemara in Yuma says that when somebody has this illness called bulmus, he should eat sweet things, and that will help. So that's why they were giving him, you know, figs and giving him raisins. You know, these are sweet fruits to help restore his energy. Hayochal, and this Mitzri fellow eats the stuff. Batoshav rucho elav, and Baruch Hashem, he's feeling much better. Kilo ochal lechem v'lo shasa mayim shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilos. He hadn't eaten or drank anything in 3 days and three nights. Good question. Now we'll see in a second what happened. Now we know that there were 3 days between the time that he went with Achish, right? David went to Achish and he returned to Tziklag was 3 days. So this guy hadn't eaten in 3 days. So presumably this is almost the same 3 days. Pasuk Yud Gimel. He says two questions the Mefarshim asks. Number one, or I'm saying them out of order, but one question is, you know, what nation are you from? Who are you? And number two, you know, it looked like he was a slave. Whose slave are you? You know, what nationality are you? And whose slave are you? Vayomer, Nar Mitzri Anochi. He says, I'm a Nar Mitzri. I'm an Egyptian kid. Eved li'ish Amaleki. But I'm a slave of an Amaleki man. I'm a slave of an Amaleki man. Vaya'azveini Adoni ki chalisi hayom shlosha. He says, my master, the Amaleki, left me in the field, right? He abandoned me in the field. Why? Because I got sick. I got sick 3 days ago, and he didn't want to be bothered with me. He was traveling. So he just dumped me in the field to die. And that's when you found me, 3 days later. Pasuk Yudalit. And now he starts to tell the story. Anachnu pashatnu negev hakresi, v'al asher li'yehuda, v'al negev kolev, yes, tziklok sarafnu va'esh. And he says, you know, my master is an Amaleki. I was with their group. I was with their army. And we attacked the city of Negev HaKresi, which is a Plishti city. And we attacked Negev Kalev, which is a city in Shevet Yehuda. And Siklag we burned. And we burned Siklag. This is exactly the information that David needed. Right? Because again, he had no idea who attacked Siklag and who burned Siklag. And now this Mitzri kid that he finds lying in the field is telling him all the information he needs. Vayomer elav David. So David says to him, Hasorideini el agdud hazeh. Can you bring me down to this army? Can you help me find them? I want to find them. Vayomer, so the Mitzri kid responds to him, Hishavali velokim im timiseini. He says, swear to me that you're not going to kill me. Now again, the Malbim says, you know, this kid, he didn't know, is this person, he didn't know who David was. Some guy with 400 men is talking to him. He doesn't know who this guy is. Is he friendly with Amalek? Or is he an enemy of Amalek? So maybe I'm going to show him Amalek and then he's going to kill me. So he says, swear to me that you won't kill me. Number one. And number two, swear to me the im tasgireini biyad Adoni. Swear to me that you won't give me back to my master. I'll take you there. I'll show them to you. But number one, swear that you won't kill me. And number two, swear that you're not going to hand me back to my master. Because that guy, I don't want to work for him anymore. He left me out to die in the field. I'm not interested. And if you swear, then I'll trust you. Then I'll go down and I'll show you where they are. Right? Because then I know that you're going to keep your word, because if not, then you have this oath that you violated. And people take oaths very seriously. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayoridehu. So he takes him down to find Amalek. V'hinei netushim al pnei chol ha'aretz. And they're looking down, you know, they're probably like on a mountain or on a cliff. And they're looking down at the Amaleki camp. And they see that the Amaleki camp is very spread out. They're all spread out. Now, why are they all spread out? The Malbim says that they obviously were not camping strategically. If you have an army camp and you're afraid that someone's going to come attack your camp, you camp strategically. You don't spread out. You cluster together. You have, you know, different layers of security. There was no security here. These guys were all spread out, right? The whole Amaleki camp was spread out. Not only that, ochlim v'shosim v'chogigim v'chol hashalal hagadol asher lakhu me'aretz plishtim u'me'aretz Yehuda. They were rejoicing. They were happy. They were fressing, eating, drinking, making merry. They just got a ton of spoils. They attacked Negev HaKresi, the Plishti city. They attacked Negev Kalev, the Yehuda city. They attacked Tziklag. And what did they do with all the spoils? They took it. They took all the spoils. So now they're having a grand old time with all of these spoils. And the Malbim says it was very clear to David and his men that they were not expecting an attack. Right? They're very leisurely now. They're not protecting themselves. They're not expecting anything. They're spread out. They're rejoicing, eating and drinking. So David realizes that he has a chance to attack them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayakem David Mehaneshef v'yad ha'erev l'macharasam. So the pasuk says that David fought them, right? He attacked, he fought them. Now it's all the mefarshim struggle to understand exactly the timing in this pasuk because it's not clear. Mehaneshef v'yad ha'erev, from neshef to erev. Now what's neshef? Erev we know is evening. What's neshef? So neshef is sometimes understood to mean any time of transition. So neshef can be used as sunrise or sunset. Sometimes neshef is just used in the sense of sunset to mean the evening. So pashup shot, the Radak says the pashup shot is that they attacked them at night and they fought them through the next night into the following morning. That's how the Radak understands Mehaneshef Yad Ha'erev, from one night to another night, Lamacharasa, and then to the next, into the next day, like a day and a half, kind of. Right, exactly. That's the Pashup shot in the Pasuk according to the Radak. There are those that understand this. It was just a one-day battle. It was just from sunrise to sunset. Neshef here refers maybe to sunrise. Sunrise to sunset, but then it's not clear what does Lamacharasa mean. Now, what's interesting is Lamacharasam, Chazal point out, Rashi quotes this, that for whatever reason, and Chazal don't explain it. I'm sure somebody explains it, but I didn't see it. But Chazal don't explain it, but they say that for whatever reason, Machar is Amalek's weakness. Right? And David specifically waited to attack Lamacharasa. He waited an extra day to attack. Why? Because that's a weakness for Amalek. Right? The next day, the following day of whatever time period we're talking about, is a weakness for Amalek. And they prove it from the Pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, when we're talking about Moshe and Yoshua going to battle against Amalek. What does the Pasuk say in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes? Vayomer Moshe Yoshua b'char lanu anashim, choose men to go fight Amalek. Vetzehi hilochem ba'amalek machar, tomorrow. Right? Why maybe, again? Because maybe tomorrow.
Maybe it's the next day when they have a hangover.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, right? So Tzvi suggesting that, you know, they were all frolicking in the field, you know, and eating and drinking. So the next morning, when they all have a hangover, then you attack them, right? That could be. But Chazal understand that there's some sort of spiritual weakness in Amalek, Machar. You know, that the next day was always, it's a weak time, whether it's, you know, the early morning or whatever it is a weak time for them. But that's based on that pasuk of Machar, that Moshe says, that's the opportune time to attack Amalek. Now, the Malbim understands that Neshef, Mea Neshef Ad Ha'erev, Neshef means early, early morning before daybreak, right? Like, you know, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when it's dark outside and everyone's sleeping before daybreak. If I'm not mistaken, that's when Tzahal does all their raids in the Arab villages. Right? They always do it at like 2 or 3, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning when, you know, people are sleeping and it's dark and it's quiet. That's when they raid the Arab villages. So here too, this was, they got it from David, because according to the Malbim, that's when David attacked. He waited, man. Neshef means the early, early morning. You know, like 3 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark outside, before the light of day, everybody's sleeping, boom. That's when he attacked, and he fought them ad ha'erev until that following evening. Again, l'macharasim, you have to explain what l'macharasim means. But that was, he was a surprise attack. Why did they attack them in that way? Says the Malbim, David and his men were severely outnumbered. Amalek had a lot more than 400 men. Right, David was only with 400 men. So they were severely outnumbered. So because of that, they waited, right, until it was dark, and then they could attack, surprise attack. You know, Amalek doesn't know what hit them. They don't know how many people are fighting against them. And that's when David is at an advantage. Now, this was a very successful battle. Velo nimlat mehem ish. No one escaped, or no foot soldiers, to be more precise, says the Mitzudas David, escaped. Ki'im arba meos ish na'ar asher rochvu alagmalim vayanusu. The only Amalekim that escaped were Amalekim, says the Malbim, that had two things going for them. Number one, na'ar. They were the young and strong ones. And number two, They were rachvu al agmalim. They were the ones that were on camelback, and therefore they were able to escape because they were on camelback. As opposed to all of the foot soldiers, David killed all of them. None of them escaped. Not one. Not one foot soldier got out. Even if the, even the young and strong ones, they killed them. The only people that escaped were these young soldiers that were on the camels. They were the ones that escaped. Pasuk Yudches. So David saves everything that Amalek had taken, right? Rescues all of the people that were taken captive, rescues all of the spoils that had been taken and stolen by Amalek. And David, of course, saves his two wives. Why is the name David repeated here? Vayatzel David, and then Hitzil David. Right, why do we have the repetition? So the Malbim says, because everyone else was saved by the entire army. The whole group of 400 men, they went ahead and saved all of the women and children and all of the spoils. They acted as a team. David saved his own two wives. That was his personal mission. He wanted to save his wives, obviously, because that was a personal, that was something personal for him. So he went and he saved his wives individually, personally. Okay. Okay, says Pasuk Yates. Velo nedar lohem min hakaton v'ad hagadol v'ad bonim uvanos u'mishalol v'ad kol asher lakhu lohem hakol heishiv David. Everything was recovered. Not one person lost their lives, not one Jew. Every woman, every child, young, old, they were all saved. All of the spoils were recovered. All of the spoils were recovered. And everything was taken by David. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight because now we're going to go into a slightly different discussion about the spoils. And then we'll finish the Perek Emir Tzashem next week. So we'll stop here for tonight. We're up to Pasuk Chaf. And Amir Zashem, next week we'll finish the Perek and we'll see if we have time. Maybe we'll begin the final Perek, Perek Lamed Aleph as well. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.